Welcome to the Polish Your Mirror Podcast. I'm your host, Selena Borns, founder of the Ladies Circle of Success. Each week, we provide you with strategies, tips, and encouragement about pursuing your life's passions, embodying the confident version of yourself, and overcoming obstacles to living authentically so that you can attract success and be the boss in all areas of your life. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Polish Your Mirror Podcast. I'm your host, Selena Borns, your mindset strategist, and I am the founder of the Ladies Circle of Success. Today, I am welcoming Dr. Shauli Mukherjee. Dr. Mukherjee has dedicated her life towards the promotion of child-centric and activity-oriented education. She has been the founder principal of Adams World School and STEM World School, which was the first STEM school in West Bengal. Under her inspiring leadership, STEM World School has been ranked and awarded as the second best international day school in West Bengal by Education World. Dr. Mukherjee ardently believes that the purpose of meaningful education is to develop lifelong learners, creative thinkers, and responsible global citizens who are confidently equipped to face the challenges of an uncertain and constantly unfolding future. Hello, Dr. Mukherjee. Thank you so much for taking time to be with us on the Polish Your Mirror Podcast. How are you?
Thank you so much, Selena, for your kind invite to me to speak on this platform today. It's absolutely a pleasure, and I'm really looking forward to an exciting conversation. And yes, I'm really doing great by God's grace. I hope the same goes with you as well.
Yes, definitely. Now, are you in India right now?
Yes. I am an Indian, and I am currently in India as well.
Wow. How's the weather there now? I know it's a bit chilly here in Houston.
It's same here as well. I mean, not very chilly, I would say, but then, it's quite pleasant, I would say, because in India, we don't really get to enjoy the winter months more. So we really look forward to the winter months.
Really?
So it's quite pleasant.
Well, I don't like it. Okay. So I read in your bio that you have dedicated your life toward the promotion of child-centric and activity-oriented education. So can you explain to us exactly what that entails?
Yeah, sure. So child-centric education and activity-oriented education, definitely. I mean, these two are the different, they are from the different dimension. So whenever we speak about child-centric education, doesn't mean that it has to be activity-oriented. It's not like that. However, child-centric education is that kind of an education system which will always put the child at the center rather than putting the teacher or the educator at the center. Problem with our education system is that, the education system revolves around the educator or the teacher. So everything is conceptualized, planned, executed, assessed, evaluated from the perspective and lens of a teacher or an educator. But there is an urgent need for reimagining this kind of a system and to make the entire education system revolve around the most important person who is actually learning from the system, and that is the child. So the moment you think about this kind of a shift from an educator to a child, and you put the entire system revolving around the child, then you start thinking differently as an educator. You plan differently. You plan different kind of learning activities, which will be very different when the child is at the center. So this is basically the child-centric education. Well, activity-oriented education is also something which is the need of the hour. Rarely practiced, but something which is absolutely essential and significant. It is not based on the theoretical component of education. It is not based on rote memorization. It is not based on a child's ability to conform and to comply. Rather, it is based on a child's ability to create and to innovate. That is, an activity-oriented education will always put you know, the practical components or the hands-on activities at the center. So it believes in the philosophy of learning by doing. So the moment you, have a paradigm shift from the theoretical component of education to a kind of an education where the child explores, the child experiments, the child discovers and innovates, and then through that particular process, the child learns. So education has a completely different dimension all over. So this is, in short, what is activity-oriented education.
That's amazing. I love it. I love that because children learn best when they are doing, you know, and I love that activity-oriented education. And I never heard it broken down that way. I like, you know, the child-centric and the activity-oriented. I would have thought that they were the same, but I love how you explain the difference in the two. Now, what prompted your interest in the child-centric education?
Yes. So that's an interesting question, I must say, because I'm a person who has actually, you know, spent more than 23 years of my life in the sphere of education. So in this long journey, I have been the principal as well as the founder principal of some of the reputed schools, international schools in West Bengal, India. So now when my journey started, 23 years back, you know, it started with a lot of passion. It started with a lot of dreams and aspirations to create a real difference in the way teaching is delivered. But I must say that the more I entered into the system, the more I started feeling frustrated day in and day out because of the way in which education was delivered, you know. And why do I say so? Because, the more I was into the system, the more I realized that our conventional educational norms actually force our children and our young learners to metaphorically draw and color within the lines only.
Yes.
That is, you know, they force the child to conform and to comply rather than give them any sort of scope to innovate or to create. That is the main problem of our current education system. Why do I say current? Because unfortunately or sadly enough, whatever I witnessed 23 years back, I cannot say that things have drastically changed even now. So, you know, I realized that our education system is essentially the same. It's still the byproduct of the 19th century industrial revolution, which still promotes a one-size-fits-all educational structure, which does not even recognize the basic fact that each and every child is born with a unique blueprint, with an ability to create a unique world of difference around him or her. It also denies the fact that each and every child has their own individual abilities, passion, talent, and interest. So, you know, the system views the learners as finished products of this redundant and conservative and traditional system. You know, so I sort of, you know, started becoming extremely frustrated, you know, and the more I was made to follow certain instructions as a teacher, because I joined as a teacher at that point of time, the more I started feeling that everything that we are doing, we are actually doing wrong, and we are doing a disservice to our children. So right from then, you know, I started thinking that this cannot go on. So we need to think differently, especially when it comes to the 21st century learners whose learning needs and demands are so very different from us. And the world in which they live, that is also so very different. It's a VUCA world. It's a volatile, uncertain, complex, and ambiguous world. So you cannot continue to deliver the same age-old educational policies and systems, and it's not going to serve these children. Right. So I started thinking, you know, what can I do? So after many years, it actually led to the establishment and the formation of a particular school, which is, I would say, a school with a lot of difference, It was the first STEM school in West Bengal, India, to be eventually awarded for being the second best international day school in the entire West Bengal region of India by Education World in 2016. It's a kind of a school where, you know, there are no standardized curriculum. It's a school where, you know, there are no standardized tests. It's a school where the happiness and the passion quotient of the children are extremely high.
It's a kind of a school
which is based on activity-oriented and child-centric education in a true sense of the term. So it has taken many years for me to do it, but then I must say that those initial days and years of disappointment and despair and despondency had actually, you know, triggered in me, you know, that urgency to do something extremely different.
I love it. I love it because, you know, this listening to you talk just reminds me, because I studied under the late Bob Proctor. And one of the things that the first things that he introduced us to was the fact that we as adults, how we need to learn how to think outside of the box, because as children, we were so conditioned and programmed to believe a certain way and we were taught a certain way. A lot of people may think that they're not good at something or they're deficient in an area only because they may have taken a test in school or in college or something that they didn't, you know, or a course where they didn't do well in. And so they've carried that throughout their adult lives, thinking that they could not accomplish whatever that was. And what he taught us was, no, that was just a test that you took at that particular moment in time, on that particular day, around what you were force-fed to memorize, you know, because we are taught to memorize and just regurgitate it back. We're not taught to actually, you know, learn and understand it and all of that. So what you're doing with the children and catching them at such an early age is remarkable. And that will, I mean, you're raising a whole generation of children that can think for themselves, that can, you know, go out in the world and be prosperous because they are confident in their abilities. And I love that. So my next question that I want to ask you is, what is the most challenging obstacles, both personally and professionally, that you have had to overcome while pursuing this passion?
So let me just tell you that if you really want to create a whole lot of difference in the traditional way of doing things, and especially if you're doing that in the field of education, you cannot just expect a bed of roses in your way, right? Because you are trying to break the status quo. You are trying to challenge the conventions and the traditions which have been, you know, age old, and we all have been fed on that. So when you are trying to bring a real difference, especially in the field of education, there will be a lot of resistance. And those resistance, I mean, it's not strange. It's quite natural that those resistance, but I have seen in my own professional journey that those resistance used to come from all, you know, stakeholders, including, first of all, I would definitely like to mention the parent community.
Right.
So they are the ones who are actually absolutely and 100% resistant towards any kind of change and development. So resistance used to come from.
Oh, wait, let me interrupt you there. Why is that, though? You would think the parent community would be the ones that are all for this type of change. Why do you think the parent community are the most resistant?
I think because it's not about what I think. It's about what I have experienced during Sabina. It's like I have seen that they have been educated. I mean, their generation has been educated in a typical manner.
That's true.
And they have formed a kind of a concept that this is the only way in which education can be delivered. There can be no other way. And especially in the field of education, there shouldn't be any scope to experiment and to innovate or to create. Problem is with that kind of a mindset. So, you know, they always would like to play very, very safe. And also, I have seen one particular trend, very, very common trend in the parents. Sadly enough, also among a lot of educators, to be very frank, they sort of, you know, stigmatize failures and mistakes. So it's as if It's unthinkable if my child or my student commits a mistake or encounters a failure. So they stigmatize failures and mistakes so much that they do not even realize that both failures as well as mistakes are essential components of an effective learning ecosystem. I mean, just look at you and me. I mean, look at us. How have we evolved? We have also encountered a lot of failures, a lot of mistakes, in our lives as well. And that is how we have actually evolved. That is how we have grown over the years. You know, so the mistakes have actually made us stronger. The failures have made us who we are right now. So if that is so, then why do we actually have to penalize the child when the child is encountering mistakes and, you know, encountering failures? So this is a very, very, very common trend. Also, Selina, very importantly, the problem with the parent, typical parent mindset is that, you know, if I'm a parent, my child or my children are actually, you know, sort of my trophies or my accolades to show off to the world. So it's not important who I am. It's very, very important what my kids are doing, because, you know, that is how I'm going to be judged in the external world, or the society is going to judge me on the basis of how my kids are performing. So there is a tremendous pressure. There's a tremendous pressure even on the parents. So much so that I can just share an example with you, which is like a very common example in India. I mean, a lot of Indian parents can relate to it. Like whenever, you know, our kids are having their examinations. So during that particular time, especially the mothers, they are not involved in any other kind of activity. It's like they're completely, you know, into the entire system. It's like they do not have a life of their own. So you will be finding it very difficult to understand that the examination is for the child or the examination is for the mothers. So something like that. So, you know, this, these are the mentalities, and it's not something which is like recent. It's something which have been carried forward for so many years. And sadly enough, there has been no change, no change at all. So obviously there will be a lot of resistance from the parents. But apart from the parents, it's not only the parents who actually used to resist, but it's also, you know, some of the educators and the teachers in the system who found it extremely difficult to learn, to unlearn, and to relearn.
Okay. Now, what I do is I coach women, and I coach women who suffer with issues like self-esteem, not able to establish boundaries and things like that. So I understand that you are a big advocate for the education of girls. And so why is that important?
It's extremely important, Selina. I mean, my words cannot express how important and significant that is. Because, you know, we have to understand and realize and internalize the fact that when our girls are educated in the true sense of the term, I'm not talking about literacy, I'm talking about education. Literacy and education both are different, right? So when our girls are educated in the true sense of the term, the real sense of the term, we as nation do much better. We as a world, we do much better. So we have to understand this very essential and significant aspect. And when I say true or real education, I am not, you know, pinpointing to the formal education that our girls are getting in their schools, colleges, or universities, the outcome of which is like, you know, a certificate or a degree. So I'm not referring to that. I'm referring to education in the true sense of the term, which makes a girl or a young woman confident enough to move out into the world with a lot of authenticity. So problem with the young girls is that they find it extremely difficult to accept the way they are. And they are not to be blamed for that. You know, the society is to be blamed. Their family is to be blamed. Their upbringing is to be blamed. So this is how we sort of socialize our young girls since birth. That we train them to be good wives, good mothers, good sisters, you know, but rarely we train them to love themselves completely, wholly, and first.
Yes.
We don't train them.
Mm-mm.
That That's- you have to treat yourself as the most important person in your life.
Love it. I love it. See, I'm a big advocate for women too. And I'm a big advocate for women believing in their strength. So I'm looking at a very strong, confident woman here. How did you learn to become this confident version of yourself?
Selena, to tell you personally about me, well, I don't know, but since childhood, if there can be one single word which would define me, was a rebel. So I was always very rebellious, you know, very rebellious. And I was a kind of a person who always used to ask a lot of questions. I still am like that. I mean, I have a lot of questions about everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I normally do not take anything for granted or at the face value. Okay. So I would always go into the depth and I would always try to understand why, you know, the things are being done in this particular manner. Are there any better way to do these particular things? So I always had a mind like that.
Mm-hmm.
But to answer your question very, very specifically as to how did I grow into the kind of a person that I am right now? Well, it had taken a lot of years for me for this kind of an evolution, and I would say a spiritual evolution in that sense of the term, where I actually and eventually realized that the true fight is never outside. The true fight is always within us.
Right.
So we tend to make a very big mistake of thinking that we have to fight against the world. We have to fight against patriarchy. We have to fight against the age-old conventions and norms, which are like, you know, putting shackles onto us. But the problem is the real fight is never external to us. It's always internal. It's deep-seated. So we have to fight our own inner demons. And very specifically put, we have to fight those, you know, negative self-talks that we often, you know, those voice in the heads, as we say.
Yes.
So we have to fight with those voice in the heads. And we have to marry the beats of our awakened heart, if I may say that.
Mm-hmm.
So it has, for me, also it has taken a lot of years, long journey, for me to actually realize that this is only the way in which you actually become emancipated and become an empowered version of yourself.
Yes. Love it. I love it. Look, tell us, what is it that you're working on now? Anything that we need to look out for coming from you in the near future?
Yes. So I would like to state that, you know, the struggle or the fight, which had started for me 23 years back, is still not over. So I'm completely committed and devoted towards bringing about a real difference, a real change, a real transformation in the traditional and conventional system of education. So I strongly advocate for a complete redefinition and reimagination of our current education system, which will suit the needs and demands of our 21st century learner. Mm-hmm. So I'm still on my, I would say, fight, mission, whatever you may call it. But, you know, I'm extremely passionate about it and I do it in my own little ways and manners. Mm-hmm. But I continue doing that because I'm a kind of a person who has actually turned her passion into her profession.
Love it. Love it. That's what it is. When you're doing what you're passionate about, it's not work. It's something that you look forward to and it helps pushing you forward, which is great. Now, tell us, how can everyone like keep up with you, get in touch with you, social media, you know, things like that?
Yes. So I'm a person who is extremely active on social media. Mm-hmm. So, you know, any like-minded people who would like to get in touch with me or be connected with me. So I am very active on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, you know, so on all my social media handles, I'm quite active.
Okay, great, great. And everybody, I will have all of her links in the description of this podcast. So I just wanted to thank you so much, Dr. Mukherjee, for taking time to be with me here on the Paula Shamir podcast. It was a pleasure, an absolute pleasure having this conversation with you. And I am so glad that we connected. And I just want to let everyone else out there know, if you're watching or listening to the Paula Shamir podcast, please like, share, you know, do all that good stuff to keep us going. And we will be talking to you or seeing you soon. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so very much for listening to the Polish Your Mirror podcast. Please subscribe and share. You can join our community by visiting Ladies Circle of Success on Facebook. I'm your host, Selena Barnes, and as always, remember to keep your mirror polished, because no one can do it better than you.